It's only been a Hi everyone, happy new year. We're so glad to have you all back. Hope you've had a wonderful Christmas and a great new year. We're really excited about this new section, I guess, series that we're gonna go through. But before we do that, why don't we open with a word of prayer? If we will, Pastor Edwin, want to pray for us?
Yes. I'm an audio. Yes. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your presence right now, Lord, for your mercy that is new every single day, Lord, for the provisions that we receive, for the health that we have, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to bless this year to everyone, as every single one of us that we are here, and the rest of the people that they are in church, our families, bless them all, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, for a special anointing tonight. We want to get to know you more deeply, Lord. So open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and give us more of your wisdom, more of your knowledge, Lord, and bless Dina and Hassan to give your word, Lord. For all of that, I give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, we had an introduction to the series that we're about to start. But while we were praying right now, while Pastor Edwin was praying, I just, God reminded me of something different, which was on, you know, just like a week ago, Dina and I were walking in the morning, walking again. And then we sat on this bench and we were praying, you know. It was really early in the morning. There was no one. It was like in this little kind of mountainish, you know. And it was such a beautiful view. And we were like talking about 2022 and just thankful for truly the best year in our marriage, the best year spiritually for us. And Dina asked me, what is the vision for 2023? What are we praying for 2023? And we both looked at each other and like said, well, I think 2022 was, we were set free from a lot of the bondage we had. You know, God did a lot of healing. God did a lot of work to restore us. And I'm so tired of looking from far, seeing all the promises that God has for us, and just looking at it without having it. So I feel like 2023 would be the year that we cross the Jordan and get into the promises that God has for us. Because I know that God has a lot of great things for us. There is a lot of unclaimed land that we haven't touched yet, that we haven't stepped on yet. There's a lot of self-control, a lot of love that we need to share, a lot of studying we need to do, a lot of sharing we want to do with other people, a lot of people in our community that are lost that we want to bring the word of God to them. So we prayed about it. And this was in the middle of the street, by the way. I mean, it was in this little park where people are walking, but we literally sat on the bench. And instead of sitting on the thing, we sat on the table and we were praying. And we prayed for about 45 minutes or so. And we just let it sit with us, you know. And then we were praying about the Bible study and what's next. And that image of claiming what God has for us, the image of God has his sword drawn and ready to give us and ready to lead us in battle has not left my mind since we talked about it, I believe like 3-4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I told Dina, this is what I'm feeling about the next period of time, you know, which is the people of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. A trip that should have taken between 11 to 15 days, okay? But it took them 4 years. It took us 20 years to get to this place where we are right now spiritually as a couple. And don't get me wrong, we were having a good marriage, but that's not what God is after. God is not after a good marriage. God is after a godly and heavenly marriage. God is not after a good business. God is after a heavenly and godly business. God is not after a good church where the members, you know, get along and, you know, they like the pastor and the pastor likes them back. No, God is after something from him, something that will shake the earth, something that when people hear of it, they recognize and they realize that God has done something there. God is at work in this place. So this is what's on our heart for the next season for us, that we're going to go through the battles, the challenges, to claim what's ours, to claim what God has given us. You know, there are two verses that I think maybe it's a little bit, you know, early to share them, but I'm going to share them with you anyway. In Exodus 3:7, when God first appeared to Moses, okay, and God started talking to Moses, listen to what God said to him. In Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Okay, say these two words with me, okay? I have come, where is it? I have come to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. Okay, so when God appeared to Moses, he was after two things. Number one, to set his people free from slavery and to take them out of the land of Egypt. But that's not the end of it. The second part of it is to deliver them and give them that good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the, you know, the Hittites and all of these people. This land is going to be their land. And in Colossians 1:3, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. God is not just after setting us free for just the sake of being free. God is after setting us free and taking us into his kingdom so we can be working for him in his own kingdom, so we can be living with him under his shelter in his own house. So I feel like a lot of believers nowadays, they hear the word of God, they receive salvation, they receive the power of the cross, they fight sin, but they're still living away from their promises. And the promises that we're talking about, we're not promising Lamborghinis and mansions and all of that, even though if that's his will, then that's his will. No, we're talking about grabbing our promises that are in the eternal life promises, the promises that God can give us and wants to give us.
Yeah, so the theme for the next few weeks is going to be just that. It's going to be claiming God's promises for your life and for my life. And a great way for us, we really felt the Lord kind of drawing us to these analogies and situations that we see in his word in the book of Joshua, where we see the people of God, the people of Israel, finally getting to the promised land. But it was a process to get there. And so just to give a little bit of background, I imagine most of us know this, but let's just kind of briefly go over it. The people of God were enslaved in Egypt. It was a terrible, as any slavery or slave situation would be, it was a terrible situation for the people of God. And God calls Moses to be the leader in this moment and to take his people out of Egypt. And we know the story of how the Red Sea was split and they were able to enter out of Egypt. They left Egypt and able to enter into what was going to be their promised land. And as Assam referenced, this was a trip that really should have taken a couple of weeks and ended up taking 40 years. And I just want you to wrap your mind around that for a second. That there was so much disobedience. Their heart was so hardened as a people that it detoured them 40 years. Just unbelievable. Some people never saw the promised land. They died there in the desert. I mean, it's really like such a great tragedy, but such important imagery for you and I. There's so much to be said about the desert, but we're not going to get into that. But what we are going to talk about is what happened to the point in Joshua, starting in Joshua 1, where we see the people of God finally ready to take and claim the promise that God had for them. And so the way we're going to review this or look through it is just we're going to go through the battles or the situations that led from the point where God spoke to Joshua and said, hey, this is it. This is your time. We're about to go into the promised land, until the point where they actually reach the promised land. And there's several situations and battles in that process. And so we're going to spend the next, not making any promises, everybody, X amount of weeks, maybe a few months. We don't know. I don't know. We'll just wait to see where God takes it. You know, this is the beauty of Bible study. You have time to really dig in and see what we can learn and what God wants to not just teach us for the sake of knowledge, but really help us to apply those things to our life. So with me, let's begin in Joshua. We're going to read chapter 1 today. We're going to go over it a little bit. And then next week, we'll start talking about those battles or situations that the Israelites went into. But it's really important for us to understand Joshua chapter 1, what happens here in order for us to kind of move forward, okay?
Before Dina reads, there are two things that I would like us to agree on before we start this season. Can I have your attention just for... Okay, number one, we're not going to be able to cover everything. There is no way we can. We're going to try, and I promise you we're going to try our best. We've been putting time and we've been studying, but just we're not going to be able to cover everything. But hopefully, we can just give you a few keys so that you can go back and study this with us, okay? The 40 minutes or the 45 minutes that we have right now, once a week, this is not going to cover much. Unless we're planning to be here for the next 10 years, you know, we need your help to study with us as well, because we know that we don't have it all together, and we're not going to be able to cover it. We don't have the time, we don't have the ability or the resources to cover everything. We're going to do our best. I promise you that. We're going to do our absolute best. So number one, I want you to study with us. Okay. And number two, please participate while we're having this meeting. Okay. This is not just for us to talk. Dina hears me all day long. I hear her all day long. So this is like that last part of the meeting, this is time for you to participate. When you participate, it really encourages us, okay, to find out what you're listening to, okay, and what God is really delivering. So you can hear me many times mumbling about one thing for hours and hours and hours, right? And this small thing comes at the end of the meeting, and that would be the thing that touches your heart or touches someone's heart. I need to know that. We need to know that, because we need to know where God is directing the meeting. So please study, you know, bring questions to the following meeting. And then when we're in the meeting, if you have a question, please ask. I most likely will not have the answer, or I'm going to try my best. But if not, we have so many other people in the meeting. We have Pastor Al, Pastor Edwin, Pastor Mike, a lot of people that can help me. So you're not putting me on the spot. You're not putting Dina on the spot. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer. It's fine. And one of the other pastors will know. And if they don't know, then we'll all have to study it together and get back, you know, to it the following week. So I really want us to participate in this as a group, because one of the things that God said to Joshua, I'm just too excited, so I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, get ready and get the people ready. Okay, this is not about one person. This is not about one person leading everyone to the promised land, to their promises. Everyone has to participate. Everyone has to cross that Jordan. Everyone has to experience that moment of freedom and that moment of breakthrough. Everyone has to get their feet wet. You know, so I know you want the freedom. I know you want God's promises, because I wanted the same thing for so many years. But I thought that just like God split the sea, just like God was sending manna from heaven, just like God was bringing water out of the rock, he's going to give me this and he's going to give me that. No, some of it, I have to work. Some of it, I have to get my feet wet. I have to get my hands dirty. I have to work. If we learned anything from Ruth, that's one thing that really stood out to me. That girl was working. She was working. You know, she came, and her love to her mother-in-law and to her connection with her mother-in-law was not emotional or just words. She went to work. So these are the two things. Please study at home. We're going to start with Joshua 1 today. Study at home. Go back with all the notes that you take today. If you take any, all the thoughts, all the ideas, and just review it one more time. And that, number two, participate with us. Okay? So that was
okay. That was a 20-minute introduction. Here we go, Joshua chapter 1. I love you so much. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, everybody, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord says to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your feet, as I promised Moses. Your territory will expand from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river of Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I mean, you shouldn't be getting excited here. These are words that God is speaking to you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God has given you for your own. Amen. Gosh, such a powerful chapter. One of my favorite chapters in the Word of God. I really, when I first got saved, this is something like I read all the time. And it's like we said, in order for us to really understand what it means or what it meant for the people of Israel to claim God's promises, and what it means for us to claim God's promises in our everyday life, it's important to really get a full picture of how much that promise was deviated. So I'm going to share with you a quick on the screen here. Here we go. Tell me if you can. Everybody see this? All right. So this is a quick illustration, a map to kind of show you what God was talking about here in Joshua. You noticed he specified land that they were to claim. To the left of your screen, you see where it says the Nile Delta in Egypt. This is where the people of God left Egypt. They left Egypt. that little where the orange line begins at that top of your screen, where the, I don't know if you can you see my mouse? Yes. Okay. Right here is where they crossed over, crossed through the Red Sea. And here's Canaan, the land of Canaan. This is modern day Israel, the Gaza Strip. It borders the Syrian, Jordanian, Lebanese border. This is the Mediterranean Sea that he was speaking of. You see this big detour here, big old detour that was sort of taken. And this is what took them 40 years, right? This is the traditional route of the Exodus. This is how the Exodus happened. Now, what we're interested in this portion is this part right here. Right, what happened before they entered the promised land. This right here, the Jordan, you'll see. We'll talk about the crossing of the Jordan, but it's just important for us. It's a good image of us to, for us to really see the expanse of land. And as Assam mentioned, really walking, giving provision and time for a million people, you know, to cross into the promised land. This should have taken them about 11 days. I mean, let's stretch it. Maybe it took them a month, you know, with a few stops here and there. And instead it took them 40 years. And so, but there are things that I think we can learn from this. From this trip and from this detour that they took. But as much as we can learn from that, that's not the focus of our study. What we want to get to is when they got to the place where they finally got it, they finally got it. And now it was time to take possession of what God had given them.
So this verse here, this chapter starts with after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So the start, hold on, sorry. Hi, Bear.
Sorry, dog's not allowed at Bible study. Go.
Yeah.
Go
away, Bear. it's kind of hard to imagine the journey going through, and it's hard to imagine excitement after the leader passes away. And it's not any leader, it's Moses, right? But we will see that God has a plan despite of the circumstances that they're going through, okay? So we're going to talk in a little bit, we're going to talk about what it means to be strong and courageous, what it looks like to focus on him. And him doesn't mean Moses or Joshua, it means God. What it means to know that God's promises are unchanging, even if we changed, even if the circumstances are changing, and then the task that we have. But first, we'll start with, you know, the hope in the midst of the despair.
So Moses dies here. I mean, this is like a horrific situation. He is, by all accounts, for the people of Israel, their only true understanding of who God is. Moses, remember, went up on the mountain, received the Ten Commandments, came back down. His face was glowing. He was the real life picture for them of who God was and what God had for them. And he was gone. And that can lead to a lot of despair. It's the end of something that was really important for them, or that they thought they were hanging their hopes on, even though they rejected Moses quite a bit in the process of those 40 years. But there was something about him being gone where he was connected to that promise for them. Mm-hmm. Losing Moses was kind of like losing the promise. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes in my life, when things are tough or when things have been tough, it's very easy just in our human nature to associate the loss with not just the loss in and of itself, maybe the loss of a job or the loss of health or the loss of someone we love. It's very easy to associate that loss with the loss of our promises that we have in God. And this was a really important thing that God was about to do. And I imagine Joshua may have felt that as well. I mean, Moses was Joshua's leader also. And here is God coming to him in this most beautiful conversation that he gives to him. And he reminds him of the promises that are still there. They still exist. And all it requires is a response from Joshua and a response from God's people. And it's important for us to identify that in our life. You know, there are times when things are difficult, when it looks like it's a desperate situation and it's full of despair, when God is saying to you and I, hey, my promise is not null and void because this thing has happened or hasn't happened. My promises still exist, and your role is to respond to my call. And what does he say to him? The second thing that's like really that stood out to me, and I imagine stands out to many of us, because he said it three times in 10 scriptures. In 10 verses, we hear this three times. He says what? Be strong and courageous. He repeats that over and over and over again, three times in a very small passage. That means there was a reason why he had to say that. It was probably because Joshua wasn't feeling very strong and courageous, right? I mean, when I'm talking to my child and I keep repeating something to encourage them with it, it's usually because I get the sense that they don't really believe it for themselves. God is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous for two reasons, I believe. First, because Joshua probably didn't feel strong and courageous. But second, God is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous because there's going to be a need to be strong and courageous. This wasn't going to be an easy road. He was asking him to do something that had not been done for 40 years. And he's asking him to finally do it. That's a really heavy load for Joshua. Especially that Moses had just died. And so God is anticipating what is probably to come, which were some difficult battles, and we're going to go through those, some difficult situations that Joshua had to overcome in order to get to that promise that God has for him. And so it's just important for you and I to also remember that, to remember that God is encouraging us, calling out the warrior in you and I, calling out what he knows really can the best that can come out of us. He's doing it because he knows sometimes we don't feel that way. And he's also doing it because there's a need for it to come.
It was definitely a dark time for the Israelites. And as you can imagine, you know, they have been wandering in the desert. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. And their leader, the person who is speaking to God on their behalf and connecting with God, is gone. So completely lost. And not only for them, but also for Joshua. And as a leader, if you're in leadership, or if you feel like God has called you to do something, you look around you and you're like, this is too much. What am I going to do here? You know, I have no direction. I don't know what to do. The word of God is coming directly to you and to me today. You know, this is not just about the people who are wandering. This is also for Joshua and the rest of the group who didn't know what is happening. And they feel like Moses is gone, meaning God is not, they're not going to hear from God anymore because they were depending on Moses to hear from God, right? But does God leave us ever alone? Does God leave us orphans without his leadership, without his fatherhood? Absolutely not. So a couple of things we're going to lay down, you know, as right now, we're not even getting into the battles yet. We're very much just painting the picture. Today, we're just painting the background of what's happening. So the first thing is we need to, as God's people, whether we're leaders or his people, whether we're a place of leadership or not, we need to focus on God, because seasons and leadership might change, but God does not change. It's important for us to focus on him and to keep our eyes on him. It's time for us to take that next step of maturity and start learning how to listen to God, how to give him our attention, how to, when he says, come out of the boat, and I see myself walking on water, I'm already doing the impossible. So if a wave is coming, I will look at the wave and tell, I'm already doing the impossible. I'm already living and speaking to God. I'm already saved by the blood of Jesus. I have already done the impossible. The next impossible, the same one who gave me the first impossible will give me the second impossible. Amen?
Amen.
So it's time to take that next step and focus on God. Listen to this. When the Egyptians followed the Israelites, okay, this was actually for the Israelites' own good. You know, they could have taken another route, but God did say, go to that route. That route where the sea will be in front of them and the Egyptians will be in the back of them. But God wanted to deliver them once and for all from the Egyptians, right? They looked at Moses and said, God is trying to, why did you bring us here? You're trying to kill us. I mean, didn't you just see and heard about God? Didn't you see what God did to the Egyptians, one thing after another, up to 10 plagues? But they completely lost the sight from who God is. So when they saw the enemy, they were scared. And then fast forward in the wilderness, they started grumbling. They started getting upset. Where is the water? Where is the water? Again, not seeing God. What they're seeing is their thirst and their dryness. You know what? We will have some seasons of dryness. We will have some seasons of thirst, just like we just had a season of danger where someone is threatening us. And instead of doubting, we need to keep our eyes on God. God delivered water in the middle of the wilderness. Hungry, there is no food, there is no routes to buy anything from, and we don't even have money. You know, what are we supposed to do? Let's complain. Let's keep that problem that we have right now, magnify it, make sure that the problem takes all of our attention. But no, God came and delivered food for them. You know, one thing after another, when Moses left them to go up the mountain to bring them one of the greatest gifts that God has given to human beings, which is his word, to bring them the commandments. God is planning something amazing for you. God is about to send you a gift that you have never thought of before. And what do you do because you're not seeing Moses? You're not hearing God? What do we do? Because it's a season of silence. We worship a cow. Mm. We make our own idols and we worship them. Mm. See, that's the reason for wandering in the desert. All these reasons because they took their eyes from God, okay, and they put it on different things, okay? So when Moses is not around, okay, well, there is no God. When danger is coming, oh, there is no God. When thirst hits, oh, there is no God. When hunger hits, oh, there is no God. When I see the Amaleks, you know, those giants that are coming to attack us, oh, there is no God. See, every one of those situations, you and I go through it. You know, we all go through it. When we are going through a season at work, when things are a little bit dry and things are not great, oh, there is no God. When we are going through a season when things are not great at home, oh, there is no God. When things are not going great health-wise or financially, oh, there is no God. It is so easy to keep our eyes away from God, but to take that next step, we need those eyes to be focused on God and God only. So if I'm listening to Moses, that's great. But if Moses is not around, guess what? The God who is leading Moses is with me. And he's giving me, and he can provide the same word that he gave to Moses. That's one. And then two, his promises didn't change. His promises didn't change. Generations were changed. Locations were changed. Leadership were changed, but God's promises did not change. Moses must say, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give a gift to them, to the Israelites. The same words that were spoken to Moses, okay, 4 years plus before, where the same words are being spoken to Joshua right now. The same land, the same promises that God promised to Moses that promised Abraham long, 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 long time before. Okay? Those same words, those same promises are still valid because God does not change. Mm-hmm. Even if the seasons change, even if the leadership change, even if the location change, God does not change. This was a 40-year journey, as Dina mentioned. In 2018, we went to visit Egypt for the first time, and we were so looking forward to go to Egypt, you know. And we had the transit in Abu Dhabi, mm-hmm. right? That was supposed to be 3 hours, and then 3 hours to Egypt. So as soon as we got to Abu Dhabi, we actually made a call to Egypt. We told them we're going to be there in 6 hours. Okay, 3 hour transit, 3 hour. That 6 hour journey took us, what, 10 or 11, something like that?
12 hours.
12.
Yeah.
Because the plane that we got in was didn't take off. So they took us out. We stayed 3 hours and then they got us into another plane. That didn't happen either. So it was like a 12 hour. So a 6 hour journey turned into 12 hour. And let me tell you, we were about to lose our mind. Yeah. 6 hour. That turned into 12 hours. Can you imagine 11 days turning into 40 years? Can you imagine the frustration? Can you imagine how they felt? And let me ask you this question. Do you ever feel stuck? Do you ever feel like I have been in the same spot for however many years? I know I get that feeling a lot. Do you ever feel like nothing is here changing? It's been going on the same way over and over. They've been literally going around for 40 years. What is going on? I need that breakthrough and I need it now. Yeah. If your heart is desperate for that breakthrough, because my heart is desperate for it. I'm going to tell you this, in November of 2021, not 2022. Dina and I got to our breaking point. We were desperate for God. We were desperate. Again, we were having a good marriage. Like you guys have known us for, Pastor Alan Daly, you've known us for 20 plus years. The rest of you have known us for a few years. We were having a good marriage. Our kids are fine. And like, but good is not great. Good is not heavenly. You know, we felt like there's something missing. You know, something is missing. And we were desperate. And we came to God in desperation. Like, we still, here we are 20 years later. We grumble about the same stuff. We fight about the same stuff. We get upset about the same stuff. We are not making any moves. This is taking too long. Mm. You know what was surprising to us that during that month, during that time? That God's promises that were read over us back in May 10th of 2003 were not changed. His promises, those promises that were read in our wedding, they were not changed. They did not change. We might have changed our attitude. We might became a little bit lazy. We might just rested when we were not supposed to rest. We might have taken on so many things that we should have taken on and lift important things. We have done so, we changed, but God did not change.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you're in that place of being stuck, the Jordan River, the place of new beginning, the place of breakthrough, the place of freedom, the place of leaving Egypt behind, leaving the wilderness behind, and rising up, going down and rising up as that new creation to receive your land is just a couple of steps away. And those steps are steps of faith. Because you're going to have to believe that you will cross that Jordan that was, by the way, at that time when they were crossing, was full. You need to believe that you're going to cross that Jordan and you're going to be fine. Sorry that I'm taking a little bit too long, but God is the one we need to focus on, not anything else, not anyone else. We need to keep those eyes laser focused on God. We need to keep our eyes also focused on his unchanging promises, that even if you feel that you changed, even if you feel that you're stuck right now. God did not change his word. Mm-hmm. God did not change his promises. Okay. However, there is a task for you. It says here, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready to cross the Jordan. And this is the question for all of us. Are we ready to cross the Jordan? Are we ready to take that next step of faith? Are we ready to keep our eyes laser focused on God? Are we ready to start doing what God has said to Joshua here about, you know, keep my laws, keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, and that you may be careful to do anything written in it, and do not swerve from it right or left. Are we ready to take care of these things? Are we ready to truly, truly humble ourselves and step down and say, God, I have reached my max. This is it. I am tired of the wilderness. It's been 4 years. I'm stuck here. I've been stuck here for so long. And all I know is that you have so many wonderful things for me. I know I changed. I know things have changed, but you did not change. God has not changed, everyone. God has not changed. I don't, I'm telling you before God, I know these things are recorded and they're going to be on YouTube or whatever, but I don't really care, because I'm giving glory to God. I'm giving glory to God. 19 years we've been married, and we've had some of the same fights from day one.
Yeah.
Maybe not day one, after we came back from our honeymoon. From
day nine
to year 19. Same dumb stuff that, like, we look back at it after we're done with the fight. Like, did we actually argue about that? Like, this is so dumb. But this is where we were, stuck, wandering in the desert or in the wilderness. It was time for God to set us free, and it was time for us to claim our promises. This is what God has for us in this next season. We're going to go through a lot of battles. We're going to go through a lot of challenges. And I promise you, every battle that they went through, you and I are going through or have gone through. When you see these walls of Jericho, you're going to think to yourself, how does that relate to me? Oh, no, they do relate to you. The walls of impossible, the things that you said to yourself and convinced yourself, and I convinced myself that this can never, ever happen. This thing that I am thinking about can never be reached. Those walls between me and my family members, those walls between me and God, those walls between me and my destiny, those walls between whatever it is, can never come down. Guess what? Guess what? They're going to come down. I promise you this in Jesus' mighty name, not because of anything in me or Dina or anyone here, but I'm promising you this right now. In the next season, in 2023, you will see walls coming down in your life. I'm telling you this, and write it down. Today is January 4th. By the power of Jesus, by the power of Jesus and the work of his Holy Spirit, we will have walls coming down. Mm-hmm. You will have relationships, and you will have connections with God and with others. You will have ministry doors open for you. You will have freedom from things that you've been addicted to for however many years long ago. Those will all come down.
Amen.
We will see battles against kings that will come together against you. We will see battles against some of it from their own people. You will see so many battles that will relate to you personally and directly, and they were all going to be won. Amen?
Amen.
This was supposed to be Bible study, but it turned into a message. But, you know, that's why you need to study, and you need to interrupt me, and you need to share your thoughts. So I hope you got an idea of what we're praying about and what God has talked to us about. Please take the next 15, 20 minutes to share your thoughts. If you feel like, you know, we need to do anything different or to add something, please, please, please feel free to share with us. We want to learn this with you. Okay?
It's your turn now. So let's you know, if you have anything to add or share, anything that stood out to you during this time, anything specific that God may have spoken to you or pointed out as we go. We really think this is a great way to start our new year by claiming his promises over our life.
I especially love how you put it about the walls getting torn down, and I see the piece of land, the real estate waiting for us. And I love it. I love how you explained it, and it gives me a better understanding other than just reading it. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And it's a beautiful feeling to know that we have that real estate.
That's good. Good.
Good, Maria.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited too. Yeah.
How do you close it? What did I do? Oh my gosh.
I think you're still.
No, you're not. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, guys.
That's all right. No, that's okay.
Just resume now.
Go ahead, Edwin. Go ahead, Edwin. Go ahead.
It's just two words. There's a lot of encouragement based on the promises that God has for us. So that gives me a lot of encouragement to get into the world more deeply with you guys, because it's different experience doing by myself than doing with a group.
Right.
And, you know, it's more, like I said, it's encouragement. It's encouragement based on promises that God gave us.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. So good. Thank you for sharing that.
It's kind of funny that you say what you say, because during my time of prayer, this is exactly what God put on my heart, that this is the year of promise, that this is the year of fulfillment. There is many and breakthrough. So it's just a confirmation that God has something ready. Ready for us as a church, ready for us as individuals,
right.
And across the globe, something big is happening. And I've been praying, God, don't pass us by. You know, we want to be a part of what you're doing, and my heart is excited, and I'm anticipating. And I'm saying, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but God, my 5 loaves, my 2 fish belong to you. And only you can take that and make something huge with it. My heart is ready. And the idea is us aligning. You know, it's not getting God or twisting his arm to do something big. It's when, and that's what prayer is. And we were talking about this yesterday. Prayer isn't me asking God for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, prayer is changing my heart to be like his heart. And that's when power hits. So I'm expecting God to fulfill his promises and to reveal himself in ways far greater. And especially, and for us too, like, we want God. We want God for our church. We want God in our lives. We want God in your lives. We want to experience God in power, and we want him to take the nothing and make something absolutely big, not for anything or anyone, but all for the glory of God. So that is what I'm expecting for 2023. And God's been revealing that to me in my own time of prayer with him. So you're right on.
Amen. Exciting. Encouraging.
Hearing be strong and courageous 3 times, as you guys mentioned, and I just heard the word lining up. I, you know, as you guys were sharing it, I see as God calling Joshua, God calling us to, he's calling us to line up with how he sees us, what he calls us to be. You know, you said it earlier, Osama, the same words that were spoken to Moses were spoken to Joshua.
Right.
And Moses, as you said, they looked that up, and maybe some of us are like that. We feel stuck, or we feel there's no way I can hit that level, whatever the level we think that is. There's no way I can be like that person, etc. But the word of God doesn't change, and he continues to call us as we get into his word, as we hear from God. He continues to call us, be strong and courageous. That's showing us he doesn't give up on us. He'll continue to call us by name. He'll continue to call us that, who we are in his eyes, more than conquerors, courageous, strong, fearless, bold, all these things he's going to call us so we can line up to how he sees us. Amen. So thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Good. Amen.
Curious to know what happened with you guys in 2021. You said that there was a certain time where you just came to a point where you decided you needed a breakthrough. So what practical steps did you take to get to that point?
Great question.
I have one word for you. One word. It's a magic word.
Can you guess what it is? What that word is?
Me. No, just kidding.
A psalm. Yeah. So,
nope. One word. One word. Prayers, actually two words, praying together.
Yeah, praying together.
We prayed together every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. But every single day, we take an extended period of time, we pray together. Yeah. And that sets up the day. So it's not just that half an hour, 45 minutes in the morning. No, that sets up the day for so many other conversations, so many other, you know, God opened the door for us to do Bible study together, which is, this is how we met. This is how we fell in love, because of, you know, because of ministry. We were doing ministry together, and now we're studying the word together. We're like, you know, but it started with those two words. We pray together. We pray together a lot.
Yeah. And not to make this a, you know, marriage, pointers, but we also, that time of prayer wasn't just merely like a, you know, repetitive set, you know, time of prayer. We really, before we prayed, we sat and we were really, really, really transparent about the things that we were struggling with individually, the things that maybe we were struggling with as parents, or in our marriage, or in our jobs, things that we just kind of made a decision. We're going to take an hour every single day to talk first,
yep,
about the things that we're dealing with, or the things that we need prayer for, or the things that we want to, you know, come to God with. And then we're going to take however long after to pray through those things. And it completely, completely changed the dynamic of our marriage. Into like, hey, I'm trying to be a better wife, he's trying to be a better husband, into surrender, just complete and total surrender to God about the things that we were just, I don't know, are we alone? Like the things you're tired of, you know what I mean? The things like, if I have one more fight about this, I'm just gonna kill myself. This, I can't do this anymore. It was just a total place of surrender that turned into like 1 hour therapy sessions every single morning. It was, so that was really the defining practical thing that changed.
Good. Hopefully that makes sense. I don't know. But for us, that was it. Like we were desperate. We were desperate for God to do something.
Yeah.
And you know, just God was ready to do something for us, you know.
So if I hear you correctly, breaking points are really a blessing in disguise.
Yep.
Yeah. When you feel like you've reached the end of yourself, the enemy wants that as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it's really a beautiful gift from God in learning to surrender the things that haven't been yet surrendered, so you can find freedom on the other side of it.
Yeah. I mean, just as we're reading these scriptures today, the people of Israel had a breaking point. Moses died. You know, that was pretty extreme, an extreme breaking point for them. And it was sort of a catalyst that began them entering the promised land. So I don't know. We had experienced prior to 2021, we'd kind of had 2 to 3 years, I would say, of a stoppage, what felt like a spiritual stoppage, like praying for things, nothing happens, you know, really like reaching out to try to see what God has in certain areas, and just nothing, like just nothing, dryness, really talk about like wilderness kind of experiences. And then when we had that moment in 2021 where we were just like, hey, something's got to give here, that, you know, good and mediocre can't be the way we live. Mm. And all of a sudden that shift that happened in us personally, in our marriage, in our relationships, that, I mean, really talk about, it's like the gates of heaven opened up. It felt like all of a sudden we're in tune with maybe what God's saying or doing around us, just more keen to maybe like the smallest things, from small prayers to sort of larger scale prayers, just more aware of maybe what God is in control of. And that changes who you are. It just does. It changes who you are when it's true. It also helps when you're doing it with someone who's like, you know, awesome to be around. So anyway.
True.
It's humble and awesome to be around. All right, everybody. So if no one has anything else, we'll pray and wrap it up. And then next week, we're really excited to get started with the first of these situations, the first of many situations for Joshua and the people of God.
So please study Joshua 1 and maybe Joshua 2 as well, and just start reading it together. And have questions, prepare some stuff, as we said from the beginning. Today was great participation, was wonderful. Next week we'll have more time, I promise. But just read ahead so we can help one another. What Pastor Edwin said was very important, that we're encouraging each other and we're gonna do this together.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen. All right.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mike, can you close us out in prayer, please?
Holy Father, we give you glory always, Lord. We thank you always for your grace, your love, your mercy, your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, Father God, Lord, as we get ready, Lord, to learn and read, Father God, from as you took your children, Lord, across the Jordan, Lord, into the promised land, Lord. We thank you, Father God, you open our eyes, Father God, to see your promises, Lord, to see your goodness, Lord. Father God, Lord, that we may enter into those promises, Father God. Believe with our heart, Lord. Believe and focus on you always, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you honor and glory, Lord. I thank you for every home represented here, Lord. We thank you for your blessings over them, Lord. We thank you for your love, your protection over them, Father God. And we thank you once again for this coming year, Lord. May your will be done in our lives, Lord. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All the dogs even said amen.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Love you all. Hey. See you next week.
Love you guys. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
Looking awesome. Forward to it.
Next week. Look
forward to it too.
Good night.
Yes.
Okay, now I don't know how to turn it off.